Now, this is part B of Passover study. Now, before we get into 1 Corinthians 11, there are a couple things that I need to clarify so that we will understand it. Okay. Now, I realize in some of these things, I probably went over them a little quickly concerning sunset, between the two evenings, and the Hebrew phrases, Ba'erev, which means sunset, and Bein Ha'arba'im, which means the two evenings. Okay, so let's go back and review just a little bit so we can understand the difference here. Let's come to Leviticus 23. Let's first of all look at Ba'erev, sunset. Leviticus 23. Now, this is a key verse which clearly defines for us when a Sabbath should be. Now, even the Jews are divided on this because of their different traditions. Some say that the Sabbath begins a considerable time before sunset because they believe that's Ba'erev. Others say Sabbath does not begin until it's dark enough that you can see three stars. Well, that's a period of what? 5 hours, 6 hours, depending on the day? Okay. So the Bible defines it for us here in Leviticus 23 and verse 32. This is talking about the Day of Atonement. Now, the reason why it is so clearly defined here is for this reason, so that everyone will know when the Day of Atonement begins and when it ends, so that everyone will be keeping the Day of Atonement at the same time. What if you had some begin the Day of Atonement from 3 p.m, and others didn't start until 8 p.m. when they saw the three stars? So God defines it here. And the reason is because the Day of Atonement is the most severe of all the Sabbaths. So let's come here in Leviticus 23. We will work our way to verse 32 here in just a minute. Let's back up and let's come to verse 27. And let's read about the Day of Atonement because this is a special Sabbath or a Sabbath of extreme rest, if we could put it that way. Verse 27, page 240. Also on the 10th day of the 7th month is the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation to you. You shall afflict your souls, and afflict means that you will fast without eating food or drinking water, with the only exception being if there are some people who are on absolute required medication, then that would be allowable. And offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. Well, that was when they had the temple and they had the burnt offerings and so forth. Now, here becomes the key important thing as to why God really defined the Day of Atonement as specifically as he did. And this is a little different from the evening and the morning were the first day. From that, we understand that the day begins at evening and then the day is finished with the day portion, and we'll see that a little bit later here as Christ also used the word, but let's go on here. All right, verse 28, you shall do no work in that same day, for it is the Day of Atonement, in order to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. For whoever is not afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. Well, now that's pretty severe. That means you will be reckoned as a stranger in the land, as uncircumcised. God is not going to come down and cut you off or remove limbs or your head. But you will not be recognized as part of the people of Israel, though you might physically be. Verse 3. And whoever does any work in that same day, the same one I will destroy from among his people. So, That means then there are other penalties that come along which will destroy your life. You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. Now, because it's so severe, you shall not work, you shall not do any work, no manner of work. Then he says, verse 32, to define it. Because the question is, when, Lord? I don't want to get cut off. I don't want to be destroyed. I don't want to do any work. When, Lord? Verse 32. It shall be to you a Sabbath of rest, and you shall afflict yourselves in the ninth day of the month at sunset. From sunset to sunset, you shall keep your Sabbath. All right, this defines the whole day of the Sabbath. When the sun goes down on the ninth day of the month and is below the horizon, that begins the tenth day until the next sunset. So that begins it, and the whole day is from sunset to sunset. So when sunset comes along at the end of the tenth day, that ends the tenth day. That's how a day is defined, from sunset to sunset. Now, that's why in Exodus 16, the quail were sent at sunset, because that ended the Sabbath day. Now, God said they would eat them between the two evenings. Between the two evenings, you shall eat them. So the two different words are, sunset is ba'erev, between the two evenings is bein ha'arba'im. That's between sunset and dark. Because when it's dark, it is night. Okay. Night in Hebrew is lael. Morning, sunrise, is Bokur. So these give us the parts of the day. Sunset, between the two evenings, night, sunrise, till the sunset. So that's a complete division of the days. Question is, in verse 32, does it use both phrases, Ba'erev and Bein Ha'arbim? No, because this is defining the whole day of fasting. Okay. Bein Ha'arbim was a time when they were to kill the lamb and begin roasting it, and then they would eat it in that night after it was roast. So there was a period of time, and that period of time between the time of killing it, so what did they do? The sunset went below the horizon. Day is over. Soon as it goes below the horizon, that begins Bein Ha'arba'im, between the two evenings. So in Exodus 12, that's when they killed the lamb. Then they took the blood, put some of it on the side post and on the lintel over the top of the door so that the firstborn would be spared. Then they would skin the lamb, take its innards out, break no bones of it, and they would put back in the liver, the kidneys, and the heart. Those are the pertinents that would be eaten. If you took an animal and just slit its throat without skinning it and without taking out the innards, and you put it on a spigot to roast it, it would soon reach the point that it would explode. So that's why it has to be skinned and handled that way. No. So they were to eat it in that night. And they were not to go out of their houses until morning, which was Bokur, sunrise. Okay? Now all of this is in the Passover book. So, now, some have interpreted between the two evenings from one sunset to another sunset, but that's not the Bible interpretation. The Bible interpretation of a whole day is Ba'erev, from sunset to sunset. Bein Ha'arba'im means from sunset until dark. Now, if you measure it this time of year, it's about an hour and 15 minutes. So if people have the wrong interpretation of it, the various different ways, which are all defined in the Passover book, they would be eating the Passover at all different times, from the afternoon and so forth. Now, to clarify Numbers 9. When they were not in the land, they could not keep the 14th Passover of the first month. If they got back into it and their journey ended at that time, or say maybe they were on a long journey, maybe they left 2 weeks after Passover one day, they kept the Passover while they were in the land, and they were gone a whole year. Say a whole year and, maybe a whole year and 2 weeks after the Passover again. So when they get back in the land, then they were to keep the Passover on the 14th day of the second month. But if they missed that and were not back in the land, they couldn't keep the Passover. So this is how the Jews came to keeping a 15th Passover, which was really not the Passover. And they know it's not the Passover because they don't have a whole lamb. They use a lamb shank. See? Now, they could keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread out in the diaspora. That is, scattered all over, and God scattered them. But they couldn't keep the Passover, and that is very interesting, because unless you keep the Passover, you, as Christ said, you don't have any part with Him. See? The foot washing, the bread, the wine. You don't have any part with Him. Well, if they didn't keep the Passover, and they were in exile, they were in punishment for their sins. So they couldn't keep a 14th Passover according to the commands of the Bible. So what they did, they kept the Feast of Unleavened Bread and renamed the whole feast as Passover. Instead of having the 14th day followed by 7 days of unleavened bread, they kept the Passover on the 15th with a Seder meal, which was not a Passover meal. But they called it a Passover meal. So this becomes quite complicated. That's why I have the whole book, see. But the Jews, understanding the true meaning of the 14th, have said, that's why when we are in the diaspora, we cannot do anything on the 14th. And even the Messianic Jews today, even many of them claim that they are to keep it on the 15th, which is the wrong day, and it's not the Passover. See? It's just like today. How many people keep Sunday, and how many of those call that the Sabbath? A lot of them do. Especially up in Mormon land. Yep. I remember when I was pastoring Salt Lake, Utah, I was driving down one of the back roads there, and here's a big billboard up there. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And I thought, ooh, are there people up here keeping the Sabbath? And then there was a little smaller print down there and says, see you in church on Sunday. See? So the same thing applies. If the Jews call what they do a Passover, but it's on the wrong day, it's not the Passover. Now, that's why Jesus was our Passover crucified for us. He kept it on the 14th day the way it should have been kept, and he commanded the apostles to go into all nations and teach them all things that he commanded. And the Passover was one of the key central things. Comment was made a little humorous. That's why pro football is on Sunday, because God loves football, and so we can watch it on Sunday. Okay. Now, before we come back to 1 Corinthians 11, let's come here to Luke 22. Luke 22. Now let's pick it up here in verse 11. We'll add some things in here, and then we will end up coming back to what Jesus said to Peter, because a little portion of what he said there helps also explain something else concerning the timing of the Passover. Let's pick it up here in verse 11. And you shall say to the master of the house, the teacher says to you, where is the guest chamber where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? We know the Passover is on the 14th day of the first month. We also know that it begins at sunset, and we also know that the preparation of the Passover was to be from sunset until the time that the Passover lamb was ready to eat. So time would be going on. Okay. And he shall show you a large upper room furnished there prepared. Then he went and found everything exactly as he said to them, and they prepared the Passover. Now, what did they prepare? I don't think that they prepared a lamb, but I think the master of the house already had the lamb prepared. And they finished everything else. Now, when the hour had come, that is the specific time for eating the Passover, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said to them, With earnest desire, I've desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. But I tell you that I will not eat of it again until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. And he said to them, I will not drink at all of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God has come. Well, as we covered, since God made wine, then this had to be wine. They had no way of preserving grape juice. And as a matter of fact, how is grape juice preserved today? They pasteurize it. So it had to be wine, though it's called the fruit of the vine here. Verse 19. Now, the reason I'm bringing this out, because we've already covered that Jesus said he commanded them to teach all nations everything that he commanded them. Verse 19. And he took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in the remembrance of me. Now, in the Greek, it's very specific with a definite article. The remembrance. And the remembrance means a memorial which remembers Jesus Christ. And a memorial comes once a year. And the Passover comes once a year. In like manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. So here we have, when you put all three references together, which we do with the Passover ceremony, it is for the remission of the sins of many. It is for the remission of our sins personally for you. Now, let's come down here to verse 29. And I appoint to you as my Father has appointed to me a kingdom, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and may sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Then the Lord said, Simon, Simon, listen well. Satan has demanded to have you to sift you as wheat. Can you imagine what it was if he would have gotten the first Peter for the first Pope? That's what he was aiming for. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. And he said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Very interesting. But he said, I tell you, Peter, the cock shall in no wise crow today before you have denied me three times. So you see, the night portion is called today. That's right. Okay? Now, okay, come to Mark 14 and verse 30. Let's see the parallel account to see how he phrases it here, which is the point that I want to make. Mark 14, verse 29, page 1013. Mark 14, verse 29. Then Peter said to him, "Even if all shall be offended, yet I shall not." Now, this is very interesting, what Jesus said, which also shows this. Though you may have good intentions, though you may feel this way, this is a carnal emotion that many people have, like suicide, you know, bombers that we have today and suicide planes during World War II and so forth. Which means this, you are not going to do anything for God based upon your own feelings, your own thoughts, your own ways, and have God say, "Oh, that was good," because we have nothing we didn't receive, and we have no goodness except what comes from Him. Peter had not yet learned that lesson. But notice verse 30. And Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you, today, in this very night." Now that defines it even more, doesn't it? This shows the day began at sunset. They had the Passover ceremony. Then Jesus was arrested at midnight, went through all of his trials and so forth, and was crucified in the morning on the Passover day and died at about 3 p.m. and was put in the tomb just before sunset. Okay, so this is interesting. Today, which means that sunrise does not bring another day. Part of the same day. Today, in this very night, before the cock crows, you shall deny me 3 times. But he spoke more adamantly, "If it were necessary for me to die with you, I would not deny you in any way." And they all spoke in the same manner. Well, you know what happened. He did deny him. And it's interesting that in Luke's account, when he denied him the 3rd time, while Peter was there warming himself, and Jesus was over there being questioned by the religious authorities, when the cock crowed the 3rd time, and Peter had denied him, Jesus looked at him, and Peter looked at Jesus, and then went out and repented. Okay. So that also helps define things we have covered. But the key thing for the New Testament is this: his command to teach them everything he taught them included the 14th Passover. So with all authority given to him in heaven and earth, what is he saying? He's saying now, because the gospel is going to go to all nations, now the Passover can be kept anywhere you are. You do not have to be in the land to keep the Passover, but wherever you are in the world. So this is why the Jews who reject Jesus say it has to be on the 15th, because they had the substitute Passover, which in the Passover book I call the Passover of the Rejected, which I should probably retitle in another printing, the Passover of the Diaspora Jews. That probably would be a better title. All right. Now let's come back to 1 Corinthians 11, and we will see here. Now, as we are going to 1 Corinthians 11, let's just comment on one thing. Since the Passover is so important, and Jesus said, unless you do this, particularly foot washing, but that also has to do with the whole Passover, you have no part with me. Now, if you were Satan the devil, what is the one thing that you would love to confuse more than anything else? Because if you confuse people, what do? you began to move them away from the truth. That's how Satan works. Incrementalism. So we saw that they didn't understand in 1 Corinthians 5 about the sacrifice of Christ, didn't really understand that leaven pictured sin, so he said, therefore, Christ our Passover was crucified for us, therefore let us keep the feast, not with the leaven of wicked and maliciousness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now in 1 Corinthians 11, we find another problem they were having with the Passover, and that was eating a meal with it. Now the reason that they probably were was because they saw that in ending the old covenant Passover, there was a meal with a lamb. But now for the new covenant Passover, which Jesus changed, and by the way, he had to finish the old covenant Passover first before introducing the new covenant Passover. Very important to remember. The meal was over. Now, some people even today say, oh, we need a meal, which I explained earlier. But that's why we go to the last verse in 1 Corinthians 11 to read that first, that when we have the Passover, we are not to have a meal with it. It is not a meal. Let's read it here. Verse 34. Again, if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that, and that's before you come, obviously, so that there shall be no cause for judgment when you assemble together. And the other matters I will set in order when I come. And sounds like he had a lot of them there, 1 Corinthians, you know. I started doing a series in 1 Corinthians years ago, and we only had about 8 people at that time. And I got to thinking, because it was back in, oh, say, about 1985 or 6 or somewhere around there, and I got to thinking, well, we don't have any of these problems here at this time. And so I suspended it after about chapter 6, but maybe I ought to go back and do it because that's the world we're living in today. All right, let's finish this off with the Passover here. Let's come here to verse 17, and we will read it through. Verse 17. Now in this that I am commanding you, I do not praise you. Read verse 34 again. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that when there will be no cause for judgment when you assemble together. Okay? I do not praise you. Now back to verse 17. Because when you assemble together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. For the worse, rather. For first of all, I hear that there are divisions among you when you are assembled together in the church, and I partly believed it. Well, I think he was more convinced of it, see. Now here's another key verse. Verse 19, for it is necessary that heresies be among you. Why? So that the ones who are approved may become manifest among you. Now that's very interesting, isn't it? Why does Paul say it's necessary that there be heresies among you? What do problems and misinterpretations do if you really want the truth? What do they force you to do? Seek out the truth, correct? Prove all things, right? Hold fast to which is good, yes. Okay, that's why, and another reason, so that those who are approved among you may be manifest. Which means you're going to know the true teachers from the false teachers. Now then, that's quite an introduction, isn't it, those three verses. Okay, verse 20 now. Therefore, when you assemble together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Now, the Greek here is very, very strong. the impossibility of eating the Lord's Supper. Number one, because he already had eaten his Last Supper, right? Number two, you're not to call it the Lord's Supper because it is the Passover, as Jesus said. Now notice what they were doing. So they couldn't come together and have a meal and call it the Lord's Supper. That's what he said. It's not to eat the Lord's Supper. Now, most commentaries tell you, oh, well, he was just correcting a wrong understanding of eating the Lord's Supper. No, he was eliminating it. Verse 21, for in eating, everyone takes his own supper first. So they were all bringing their food when they came together for the Passover. That's why he said in verse 34, if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home. So they were doing it all wrong. Now, on the one hand, someone goes hungry because he didn't bring enough or didn't bring anything. And on the other hand, another becomes drunken. Well, this was really getting down to be pretty wild Passover, wasn't it, huh? So he says here, verse 22, what? Don't you have houses for eating and drinking? Eating and drinking what? A supper. Not taking the Passover. See? Because he says, verse 34, if anyone is hungry among you, let him eat at home. All right? Or do you despise the church of God and put to shame to those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. Because he said back there in 1 Corinthians 3, you're carnal. For I receive from the Lord. Now he's giving them the straight instructions from Jesus himself, which I also delivered to you, that Jesus in the night in which he was betrayed took bread. So that establishes when the Passover should be. In the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. That was on the Passover night, the night of the 14th. And after giving thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is being broken for you. And that's very interesting because in the Greek, this is a present tense passive being broken for you, showing how personal and particular the sacrifice of Christ was to be. This do in the remembrance of me. Now, the chapter in which I cover all of this, how often should you take it? I go through the Greek very, very detailed so you know exactly what it means. But the remembrance means a memorial once a year. They confuse as often as you drink it, as meaning anytime you want to. So I'll explain the problem here as we go on in the next couple of verses. All right. This do in the remembrance of me. Verse 25. In like manner, he also took the cup after he had supped, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in the remembrance of me. Now let's see the qualifier here in just a minute. There are two qualifiers. Number one, the remembrance, meaning a memorial on a particular day. Actually, there are three. Number two, it is the Passover night. And the number three, there's a qualifier for as often as. We'll see it here in just a minute. Verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you solemnly proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. So the phrase until he comes means that year by year, as often as you do this, year by year, until the Lord comes. Not as often as you desire to. And I fully explain that in the Passover book, so be sure and get it. Now, verse 27. This is why we follow the Passover exactly as Jesus laid it out. Verse 27, for this reason, if anyone shall eat this bread or drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, he shall be guilty of the body and the blood of Christ. Now, that's a pretty strong statement, isn't it, huh? So what does worthiness mean? On the day, at the time, in the manner, and with the attitude that Jesus showed we were to have. An attitude of repentance, you see. We don't want to be guilty of the body and the blood of Christ. So what is he saying? If you're coming together and if you're doing this in a way that you think, and some of you bring food, some of you don't bring food, some of you are eating and are gluttoned, others are hungry, others are drunken, that's an unworthy manner, isn't it? That's what he's saying. Verse 29, because the one who eats and drinks unworthily is eating and drinking judgment to himself, not discerning the body of the Lord. In other words, not really fully understanding the purpose of the sacrifice of Christ. For this very reason, many are weak and sickly among you, and many have fallen asleep, that is, died. Now, verse 31 is key. Here's what we are to do. Now, if we would examine ourselves, how we take the Passover, attitude in which we take the Passover, and the timing and the manner in which we take it, we would not be judged. What does this tell us? If we don't do it right, God is going to judge us, correct? What did Peter say concerning the judgment of God? He says, now is the judgment of God, judgment upon the house of God. And if the righteous are saved with difficulty, where will the sinner and ungodly be? So the truth of the matter is, though we are under the grace of God, have the sacrifice of Christ applied to us, God is still judging us, isn't he? Yes, he is. And that's why with daily prayer and repentance and study and yielding to God, we're under the grace of God, and God looks at it, and his judgment is, they are under Christ, therefore there is no evil accounted to them. And that's what we want, see. Now, verse 32. So he explains what happens when we are judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord. In other words, some correction that comes through circumstances, through the Word of God, through the Spirit of God, or in this case, the Apostle Paul, so that we will not be condemned with the world, because we're not to be of the world, just as Christ wasn't, though we live in the world. Now, he says, so then, my brethren, when you assemble together to eat the bread and drink the cup, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that there will be no cause for judgment when you assemble together. So that shows very clearly that there is not to be a meal, it is not to be called the Lord's Supper, and the rest of the Bible shows that the Passover is to be kept on the 14th day of the first month. Well, I hope this answers some questions concerning the Passover, and every year, different heresies and interpretations come about, and I know every year I get letters from the brethren saying, well, I'm rereading the Passover book again, and when you get it, if you don't have it, you'll understand why. There's a lot of information in there that is genuinely a very thorough book. And I don't take credit for it that I did it, because if I do something of myself and it's not inspired and motivated by the Spirit of God, what does that account for? That would be no different than just other people going out there and just doing their own way. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.